Okay, let's begin. For today, I want to discuss with you a mimer from this sefer called Oitzreis Oiraisa. Oitzreis Oiraisa was written by Rav Chaim. I don't know how to pronounce this. Shamreller Shlita. It is a excellent sefer. It is. He goes to every parsha. He takes a halachic inyan from the parsha, and he's mufalpel in the halacha. A lot of the issues that he discusses are modern day issues. Oitzreis Oiraisa. I got this a while ago, and I was planning on using this for the shiur every so often to say over the idea, but I found it to be a little bit too complex. it takes a lot of time.
That's what it's called. Kitten. Yiddish
Quince is
called kitten.
A kitten? Yeah. A kitten? Okay. So what is the topic? What topic does he have for Parshas Vayakel? His topic is Le'Sivar Eish, reading the Parsha. Torah talks about Shabbos, and the Torah gives one very specific example of what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. And the Torah says Lo'Sivaru Eish Bechol Moshvo Seichem B'Yom HaShabbos. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to kindle a fire. You're not allowed to ignite a fire on Shabbos. And there's much discussion in the Gemara, why did the Torah specifically single out Lo Sivar Eish? Some, in fact, want to learn that in the Chanami, there's no Chiyuv Karis. It's not one of the Lamed Tes Melachos, the Chiyuv Karis. L'Lav Yotzes. Other Mepharshim say, no, this is the prototype. This is the Lo Sasei, and just like this, there's a separate Chiyuv Malkis Karis for L'Chalik Yotzes, for Havara. Same is true when it comes to all the other 39 categories of Malacha. There will be a separate Chiyuv Karban, a separate Chiyuv Karis for each one alone. Okay. So he takes off on this topic and he discusses, what about turning on a light, an electric light? Now, for the purpose of this discussion, he only focuses on something which very quickly is becoming extinct. Incandescent bulbs. Okay, he's not discussing fluorescent, he's not discussing the new technology, the LEDs. LEDs are becoming very popular now.
Required by law.
LEDs?
No.
Fluorescent.
Not incandescent.
That's incandescent.
They're getting rid of incandescent.
Right, that's what I just said. LEDs is the big new thing. LEDs are very good. They're very, very good. They're expensive, but there's no heat.
And they also go on right away.
They go on right away, and they're consistent, they last long. It's the new big thing. It's the new big thing, the LEDs. So that's not what they're talking about. And then there's the fluorescent. The fluorescent is very popular. These type, not the small ones, they're not too good. Everyone knows that the small fluorescents, they replace the incandescent bulbs, are disastrous.
Yes.
But these have been around since my Sebraceous.
That's why Hashem kicked him out. He didn't play the electrical
board.
Okay, so we're not discussing for the moment the fluorescent, and we're not discussing the LEDs. We're discussing the classic, the classics, incandescent. Is that in my Sahavar? Does that violate Sivaru Eish B'chol Mosh V'Sechem B'Yom HaShabbos? Yes.
It's the other way. We were learning in Halacha Brachos about Abdullah.
Yes.
And there they quoted Rav Chaim Moshe Brzezinski, how that you can make.
Right. The Abdullah in Echanami.
So it's Eish for that. Is it Eish for that?
Right. That's part of the question. Very good. That's part of the discussion. Now, I don't have clarity. He has a lot. It's written in a. It's hard for me to absorb all of the details of this essay. So let me just throw out to you some of the yesoidas, some of the svaros that I was able to extract in the short time that I looked over this piece. First of all, it's very interesting how the Torah describes fire. The classic example of fire involves heat. Okay, there's real heat, and there's combustion. There's something that is being consumed. If you ignite a match, the match doesn't exist. In 20 seconds from now, the match has turned into ash. Doesn't exist. And there's oxygen has been consumed. This fuel, the fuel has been consumed, and the fuel needs oxygen. How does fuel, what's the, to the naked eye, how does it work? Well, if you have oxygen, then then the wood will burn. If there is no action, it's not going to burn. An incandescent bulb violates almost all of the rules because there's no oxygen. And in fact, if there would be some oxygen inside, then it would burn out instantly. It would be this, so you don't have the most basic thing you need for regular ash in the Torah. When the Torah talks about ash, we're dealing with primitive ash. You take a piece of wood and you ignite it, you light it, you have two stones and you have heat, and that heat then catches to a piece of wood, and the piece of wood burns. Burning needs air. If there's no air, maybe that in halacha is not called ash. So perhaps we can say that you can turn on a bulb today and tomorrow, the whole day, turn on the switch back and forth. There is no air. Whatever is happening, there is light. Something is getting hot inside, but it's not the mitzias of esh, the way we know it, because the way we know it, the way you put out a fire is by smothering its oxygen. So if you smother the oxygen of a light bulb, doesn't need oxygen, and it lights up. Maybe that should be enough to tell us that there's no prohibition in that Torah to turn on the light on Shabbos. That's one svar, he says. Another svar is nothing has been burnt. Nothing is being, metal is glowing. Metal is glowing. So that gets into a shayla, halacha l'mayit. So if you take we're going to discuss, if you take a coal, you take a piece of metal, and you burn it until it's red hot, is that called, minatar, is that called havara? According to some, that's called bishul. Okay, because when a piece of metal becomes very, very hot, you're able to transform it, to shape it to a different form. Anytime you take an object and you transform it to a different shape, that fits into the category of bishul. That's not necessarily the category of havara, of esh. But
you take a regular incandescent bulb.
Yeah.
Let's say you left it on Shabbos and you're thinking, you throw a towel over the bulb.
Yeah.
And in 1 hour,
yeah,
that towel is going to be on fire.
Yes.
So the towel is going to be on fire.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So that's heat. There's heat.
There's heat.
Not where now. There's heat. But that's not the classic type of fire. Okay. So now to throw out some ideas. Let's talk about. He just quotes some sukkim. You have the amud ha'esh, the pillar of fire. How is the pillar of fire described? That's not a regular fire, but that was called kimare ish.
A chemical fire.
It's kimare ish. So if you have something, parshas baloisko ve'erev yihye al hamishkan kimare ish ad haboker. Now the fact that it's kimare ish, maybe that's good enough. Everyone agrees that a light bulb is kimare ish, I mean to some degree. So since the Torah describes light, Torah describes in the Midbar there was or, there are other words which indicate that there was light, and it's only kimare ish, maybe this is smart to say it's good enough. Okay, let's just throwing out some ideas. Now, really, a really classic idea is from the sneh. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the sneh and he sees the sneh einenu ukal. Madua lo yivar hasneh. But the pasuk there seems to say that when Moshe Rabbeinu he saw ish. The similar understanding is Moshe Rabbeinu he sees vihine hasne boer boish. The sne is being boer, is burning with fire, but the hasne in an ukal. It's a nes, but what do we learn? But look at the terminology. The pasuk, the hine hasne boer boish.
What was the source of the fire?
We don't know what the source. It's not important. The fact is, it was an Eish Menas Shemayim with a special spiritual fire. But the fact that the Torah describes the sneh being Boer Bo'esh, and yet, so the term, we just need to use the terminology. That's another example. The Eish Mizbeach, and it was an Eish Menas Shemayim, and the wood was not consumed. It consumes the korbanos, but it doesn't consume fuel. It consumes something which is put onto the fire, but the fire itself is not consuming any fuel. No, there was two fires. There was the Marocha that they put wood, but there was also an Esh, the Tobias Rishon, it was the Esh Min HaShemayim. And the Esh Min HaShemayim was not consuming fuel. And yet it's called an Esh Min HaShemayim. So what is called an Esh? The Torah says it's an Esh. But the rules are different. The rules are, fuel is not being consumed. V'ineh HaSneh Bo'er Bo'esh, V'ineh HaSneh Einen Ukal. So what do we learn from the translation of the word? That Esh doesn't need to consume fuel. Therefore, a light bulb, incandescent light bulb, it's not consuming fuel as we know it. Okay, there's an electric bill. Someone's got to pay for the electric bill, but it's not consuming the fuel as we know it. So what? That's not a reason to say that it's not that's not considered halacha to be a violation of lo sivaharu esh b'chol moshvo sechem yom haShabbos. Although that in our eyes, Esh is something which needs air and something which needs to consume fuel. We have Makoros in the Torah that you have fire that does not consume fuel. Does not consume fuel because we have a Vinea Snare Barbo Esh, Vinea Snare in the Uka.
Although, of course, in those instances,
so you want to say that's a svari to say that you can't learn from Ma'aseh Nisim. Now let's go to another example. What about the classic medrash? When do we make a bracha borei me'orei ho'esh? Every mitzvah Shabbos we make the bracha borei me'orei ho'esh to commemorate the creation of fire. When was fire created? By Adam HaRishon. How did Adam HaRishon create fire? He took two rocks. It's a medrash. The medrash is a very clear medrash rabbah. Took two rocks. He scraped them together. It produced sparks. And on that spark, he said, Baruch Atah Hashem, Lokeinu Melech Olam, Borei Me'orei Ho'esh. There's no consumption of fuel.
Well, if you want to keep the spark going. Then,
yeah. If you want to keep it going, but that's not what the Medrash says. The Medrash says, Adam HaRishon.
It's talking about the origin of the spark.
Also, and that's called, with Soy Shabbos, Nosna Kodesh Baruch, it's also Deya ba Adam HaRishon, Me'ein Dugma Shalmala, Ve'hei Vishne Avonim, Utochonon Zo Bezo, V'yotza Mizeh Ur, Umid, fire came out, and on that he made a bracha borei me'orei ho'esh. But that is not a fire which spark of fire did not consume any fuel. It was nothing more than friction. Friction of two stones together produced heat, produced a spark, but there is no consumption of fuel. And yet it's called enough of a spark.
In a vacuum with thin sparks.
Well, that's another issue. Air, that's action, it's another issue.
That's my point.
Okay, so action is another issue. That's another, maybe you had to say that the light bulb is not called an issue because of the action aspect. But as far as the fact that you need there to be a consumption of fuel, you see another example where you don't necessarily need fuel because the sparks do not have fuel. Okay, so these are some of the examples. Now, halacha l'maisa, there's a long list of poskim that discussed the different opinions. So you have the shita of the chazon ish. The chazon ish is a chumah which is not accepted in halacha, that there's another issue of turning on a light, has nothing to do with ish, with completing a circuit. To complete an electrical circuit is called boneh. Bone. This is a very big chumrah. It's not accepted halacha l'maisa by all the poskim, but it's now there's a very big nafkamina. Obviously, the Chazon Ish was very much bothered. Chazon Ish is telling you turning on a light. The problem is the Belocha Deraisa Boyne. It's not telling you turning on a light is a problem of Eish. I don't know the Chazon Ish inside. There is a Nafkamina. So what will be a Nafkamina? A dimmer. Let's say you have a light bulb which already is on Shabbos. It's already on. And now you just turn the dimmer up and you make there's more light. You're not completing the circuit. According to the Chazon Ish, you're not creating a new circuit. You're just increasing the flow of electricity through the existing circuit. What about Eish? So if you want to focus on Eish, there is such a thing in Halacha that if you make the fire larger, you add more fuel to the fire, then there is if you add more fuel to the fire, that it violates the law of Havara. Havara is not lav dafka just igniting a fire for the very first time. Havara involves even expanding an existing fire. And there's one other thing that I left out is very interesting, Makar, electricity. Electricity is no different, everyone knows, by Benjamin Franklin. And how did Benjamin Franklin process of discovering electricity is through lightning. What is lightning in the Torah called?
Eish. Let me read you the pasuk. The pasuk says, by Matan Torah, there are koilois ubrakim, and the pasuk says about the brakim. Let me find the pasuk. It says first in the pasuk that it's called a fire. Where is it?
No, that's the bara.
Vashem nosan koilois ubarad vatihalach eish orza.
Hashem sent down eish orza. The simple understanding is, and the Malbim says this in the Beferish. The Malbim says, what does it mean in the pasuk that Hashem sent the eish to the earth? Well, there was lightning, and then there was fire also. The Malbim says the fire was the lightning. Meforish haMalbim shuhu eish habarak. The barak, the lightning is the fire. So we have here another example where we see that electricity itself, although it's invisible, electricity is just an example of a lightning. Just that's what electricity is. It's the same exact property as lightning, and lightning is called in halacha eish. So just expanding electricity, forget about the fact that the incandescent bulb, the piece of metal, the coil becomes red hot. Just the fact that that there is current flowing through the filament, that itself is called eish. According that is a very important thing to keep in mind. Okay, so we have here now. There is another opinion, another very important makar. The Gemara says lo sevaru eish b'chol moshe zochem yamashav. So this we learn the halacha that misa spezn is not done on Shabbos. How do you know misa spezn not on Shabbos? One of the misa spezn is sreifa. If a bas koyin is mezane, how is she executed? By pouring down her throat molten lead.
Now,
how do you do this? How do you prepare molten lead? So you have to heat it up. So the pause says lo sevaru eish b'chol moshe zochem yamashav. Chazalim that you don't execute a bas koyin on Shabbos because you'd have to violate the halacha of lo sevaru eish. Wait, how are you violating lo sevaru eish? Let's analyze. You're not taking her to the stake and lighting up a tree. That's not that we know. You don't haftal recha kumocha. That's not what the Torah means sreifa. So it means you have to take metal. You have to melt the metal. So does it mean then to ignite the pot? Right. You have to take metal. So that's bishul. But that bishul. So maybe it means to light that. That would be. Until lo sevaru eish, don't ignite a fire. Lo sevaru eish. So if you're going to tell me that it means that don't light the fire for the pot, that you're going to melt the bar of lead, whatever it is, so that you don't have to do on Shabbos, you can do it before Shabbos. You can turn.
Have the fire going.
You can have the fire, ignite the fire before Shabbos, and you have a hot pot. And then on Shabbos, you'll take the piece of metal and you'll put the metal into the pot to melt it. Melting the metal is not eish. Taking a piece of metal and melting it is. That's not eish. That's bishul. Whenever you take a piece of material and you transform it into a different form, that is a category of bishul. So where then is the havarsa? Another suggestion. It means when you pour the metal down her stomach, you're burning her neshava. That's the eish. You're igniting her stomach. When you take the molten metal and you pour it down her stomach, that causes the stomach to burn. You're burning the stomach. Maybe that's what it means. Lo sevaru eish b'chol moshe zochem. No, that would not be bishul because you're not transforming. You're not transforming anything in the stomach. You're burning the stomach. You're igniting. You're causing the stomach to be
becoming hard or different.
Okay, so he says better. He just says that it's being destroyed. That's not called fire. Pouring molten metal down a stomach into a human being and causing it to melt and causing it to be destroyed, that's not called you're burning the goof. That's called you're makalko, you're destroying. So the question then is, where then, all of these examples, do you find in the killing of Bas Kain a violation of Sivaharu Esh? That may be Bishul. But where is the Havara Asesh? It's not lighting the pot. It's not pouring it down her throat. You're not lighting any fire to kill her. So it must then be the Havara is taking the metal and making the metal red hot. The fact that the piece of the bar of metal is now being converted into a liquid, It's not just bishul. Bishul is when something is transformed. You take a piece of meat and you put a piece of meat into a pot, and the piece of meat goes from hard to soft. That's called bishul, because meat now is hard, it's soft. Is the meat been burnt? Has the piece of meat been turned into fire? No, of course not. But metal, when metal becomes red hot to the degree where the metal then can be transformed, the metal has absorbed so much heat, that itself, here we learn, is called havara. Taking a piece of metal, this is the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam learns from this halacha, that if you take a piece of metal and you cause the piece of metal to turn, become red hot, the metal has now been turned into you've kindled a fire. Because since we learn from this pasuk, lo sevaru esh b'chol mosh v'sechem yom ha-shabbos, you're not allowed to execute a baskoin on Shabbos, and the only place that you can possibly find esh is when the piece of metal turns from hard into burning hot. That itself is considered to be havaras esh. Oh, but there's no fuel, nothing has been consumed, the metal has just been transformed. The pot has been burning since before Shabbos. The pot is going before Shabbos. I'm just putting the piece of metal. Why don't we call it bishul? By putting metal into a pot, it's not just bishul, it's also havara. Turning it from a solid to a liquid is bishul, but making it red hot itself is a violation of esh itself. And that would have a very big nafka meaning when it comes to an incandescent light bulb, because the incandescent light bulb, you're causing the filament to become burning red hot, and by becoming red hot, that itself is a category of esh. This is a very important makar. What happened?
Doctor let me out early. Half a dime monopoly.
He let you out late.
Doctor at 9:30. I told him I would see you at the end of the shiur. He thought I was crazy.
Okay, so these are the various issues. Now, what are the other possibilities of turning on a fire on Shabbos? Moilit. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to create something. By turning on an electrical switch and causing there to be light in the room, you have done moilit. You have now created something new that is substantial and has not existed, which is a melacha deraisa. That's another problem. And so those are the main issues. The main issues of turning on a line of fire is there is really esh, because making a coal, turning a piece of metal, becoming red hot, is in itself a violation of havaras esh. And the ikur makar comes from where? Comes from the sreifas bas kohen. Taking the piece of metal, the psila, putting it into a pot, it's not just bishul, it's havaras esh. That is the havaras esh of sreifas bas kohen, and that's exactly what you're doing when you turn on an electrical and an incandescent bulb. You're causing something to become red hot. That borders on that is havaras esh. And don't say you need there to be consumption of oxygen. You learn from the snare that you don't need there to be oxygen. You don't need to be a consumption of fuel, because the snare, there was no consumption of fuel. And the esh minash shemayim, there was also no consumption. And the mari esh, the amud ha-esh in the midbar, also was called esh. The Torah described it as esh, even though there was no consumption of fuel. So you see, consumption of fuel is another support that you don't need fuel to be consumed in order for it to be called an halacha, for it to be called esh. Okay, now, there's also other issues besides there being esh. There's also the issue of makeb, of boneh, you're completing an electrical circuit. There's also the issue of being moilid, you're causing something new to be created. And there's also the issue of the fact that you're sending electricity through the current, that itself is havaras. Forget about the actual the filament glowing. The fact of sending electricity through the wires is a form of expanding fire. havaras esh, because barak, lightning, is a form of electricity, and that in the Torah is also described as esh. So expanding the range of how far the electricity goes also borders on the issue of the havaras esh on Shabbos. Now, what's interesting is, although this may be true, this may be called esh, electricity may be called esh, it's not necessarily called bishul. For example, what about baking matzos for Pesach with an electric oven? Is that in halacha called lechem? So there are many Pesachim that want to say that it's not necessarily kosher matzah. It could be it's not chametz. You go and it's, but it's not called lechem. In the Torah, the only type of lechem that we are familiar with is the classic lechem, where you have a real fire. Causing something to be baked with artificial fire, which is electricity, even though there's real heat, is no less than chama, bishul chama. If you cook your matzah in the sun, it's a boiling hot day, it's 200 degrees outside, and you put your dough out in the sun, and the sun shines down, that's not kosher matzah. That's not called lechem. It may not be chametz, but it's not called lechem. So although when it comes to turning on a light on Shabbos, that's a violation of esh, that's not an esh which can be used for creating something called lechem to be called kosher matzah. Another issue about electricity removing dam, liver. Let's say you want to remove the dam from a liver. So what is the rule tzli? One of the techniques, the only technique, in fact, to remove blood from liver is to roast, broil liver. Let's say you broil it on an electric broiler. You don't have real fire. You have an electric broiler, extremely hot, and it pulls out the blood. Does artificial esh in halacha have the status of esh for the purpose of extracting blood from within a piece of liver? It's a very big machlokes apoiskim. Then you say no. It's good. It's called esh. It's called esh for Shabbos because Shabbos has its own set of rules. It just needs to be glowing red hot electricity, but it's not called the esh that we need in halacha to extract the blood from liver. Another issue is, what about hadlokas neiros for Friday night? Friday night, women light candles. Men also have to light candles if there's no one around. You have to light candles for Shabbos. Can you fulfill the mitzvah of hadlokas neiros with electricity by turning on an incandescent bulb? Now, halacha l'maaseh, many times you don't have a choice. A person, rachmanu litzlan, is in the hospital. Hey, you don't have a choice. It's illegal. So then, so of course, halacha with something. But l'chatchila, is it okay? So what are the issues? So first of all, is machlekes hapoiskim. What is the halacha of? Is do you need to do a ma'aseh hadlaka? Or is it okay that the room should be filled with R? Is it a mitzvah to light, or is the result what counts? According to many poskim, you look in the Gemara, it's not a matter of doing a ma'aseh hadlaka. What counts for Ner Shabbos Friday night is that the room should be illuminated. So as long as the room is illuminated with R, it doesn't make a difference how you did it. As long as it was done, you fulfilled the mitzvah. However, there are some Rishonim that learn that it's not enough. It's not enough for the room to be illuminated with R. You have to do a ma'aseh hadlaka. And according to many poskim, lighting candles, turning on an electric switch, although you're creating an esh, it's havaras esh, it's not necessarily called hadlaka. It's not called you're doing an act of kindling. Because what exactly is electricity? There just is a current, and you're allowing the current to continue, causing the current, electric current to continue, it caused the filament to become red hot. Very nice. You've taken a piece of metal, And you have done havaras esh. But havaras esh, you've produced a fire, but havaras esh is not the same thing as hadlaka, kindling. It's an indirect type. The result is there. And the Torah says for Shabbos, lo sivaru esh. Don't cause fire to be burnt. But to do a ma'aseh hadlaka, to make the first fire, to kindle the first fire, that requires something more significant, to start out with nothing and to actually ignite something combustible. It's not necessarily would be considered ideally a ma'aseh hadlaka. So this is a debate when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, what exactly you have to first really define in more detail, exactly what is the mitzvah of hadlakas neros to understand this halacha. Any other issue I wanted to bring out?
Ner Chanukah also l'chora is a din of hadlaka. It's hadlaka.
Definitely hadlaka.
So there, we once discussed this. We learned Chanukah. We discussed Rav Yashiv, Zechariah Levrach, or Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. They discussed. They were very against the electric menorahs for these taboos. I don't remember.
What is the difference if you're using the LEDs?
Okay, I don't know how the technology works. LEDs are a new technology. Another very big issue is a microwave. How does a microwave work? So microwave, is that called a microwave? You turn on the microwave, you go and you cook something on Shabbos, so the microwave. So when you turn on the microwave, well, you're over on Bishul, first of all, well, that, electricity is another, you're cleaning a circuit, that's another issue. Electricity is not so...
Let's say you have a microwave that's running and you want to put it food in the Shabbos.
Is it called Maisa Bishul?
You get it in.
You play around before Shabbos. You take out all the lights. You work it out. This is a very good shayla.
What you do is you have a next radar station, and you take it. You know the way they developed the microwave. You take your food, you put it on top of the...
Okay, so it's a very complicated... He has a whole paragraph devoted to this. Microwave. Microwave is called Mikroigal. Micro means micro. Gala waves. Mikroigal, a microwave. He has a whole chapter devoted to this. And he basically says, Machlekes HaPoskim. Basically, what exactly is a microwave? It's not the ikur, it's the waves. If you have a candle, if you put your hand all the way on top of the candle, it's hot. But that's not. But the fire is all the way on the bottom. The waves are equivalent to the heat. It's a secondary source of heat. It's not the ikar. When you actually cook something, you're cooking on the primary source of heat. You light a fire. There's a fire. The fire is burning underneath the pot. The actual flame, the color, the white, the blue. You actually see it. You actually see it. But even the blech itself, you have the fire is making direct contact with the blech. When you cook, you're actually making use of the actual flame. If you were to cook and you have a flame over here, and then all the way on top you put your pot, and it gets hot, it's not the same. It's a secondary type of heat. A microwave and halacha operates with that rule. It's not primary, it's secondary. And therefore...
Magnetic resonance?
I guess so. It's secondary. Being that it's secondary, there are leniencies in halacha. There are leniencies in chumras. It cannot be considered ma'isa halacha. It's not murchan. It's called a ma'isa. It's called you're actually burning something. But it's also not... It's not a nisa deraisa on the same circumstances for cooking something in the microwave. All right, we'll leave it with that.